right, good morning to you. You know, it seems like the kind of music that you just should get fired up to. It's almost like Rocky music or something. But we're glad that you are here today. You know, I just wanted to point something out there. I noticed that we had a couple actually serving communion together, and I thought that was kind of cool. I love to see families, you know, worshiping the Lord together, serving the Lord together. And it's just a beautiful thing. So thank you for being here today. We're starting a brand new series, a teaching series entitled Established. Okay? Now I want to introduce this maybe a little bit different this morning. Who here can tell me my favorite restaurant, place to eat? Who? Cracker Barrel. Okay? Who can tell me my second favorite place? Not Cracker Barrel. I knew you'd say Cracker Barrel, but this, you know, yeah, Tom and Joe's, thank you very much. I took this picture the other day at breakfast at Tom and Joe's. I love Tom and Joe's. You know, that old grill that's been there for three generations, man, everything tastes the same, but I love it, you know? It is awesome. I'll tell you what I love about Tom and Joe's. I love the plaques and the signage on the wall. You know, one of them said, harassment of the cook will definitely result in smaller portions. That'll keep you quiet, won't it? You know, I love this one. It says, life is short, eat bacon. Yeah? But my favorite one is right there at the top on the right. I don't know if you can see that or not. It says, H-E-L-E-N, Helen Waite, W-A-I-T-E. Helen Waite is our credit manager. If you want credit, go to Helen Waite. I don't know, is that appropriate in church? I laugh every time I go in there. I actually took this picture and sent it to my sister because I was talking to her on the phone. I was telling her about Tom and Joe's, and I sent that that picture to her. All right, here you go. Talking about establishment, all right? Listen, I can get a spiritual application out of anything, even Tom and Joe's. Here it is. You ready? Let's have a little trivia contest about Tom and Joe's. Who can tell me the year that Tom and Joe's was established? Anybody? Early what? No, before that. No, before that. 1933. Yeah, it was started by, who started it? Tom and Joe, right? That's right. Tom and Joe Batrus started Tom and Joe's restaurant, 1933. Actually, less than 2 years later, Tom bought Joe out. It was just Tom. But he kept the name Tom and Joe's, you know, and it's still Tom and Joe's today. How many generations has it been? Like right now, George Jr. is the owner, and he is what generation? Third generation. Think about that. You're talking about that grill being seasoned. It is seasoned. 1933 is when it started. It moved to its present location in the late 1940s. Believe it or not, it started somewhere else, and then it moved there to the corner where it is now, and there was actually a restaurant there before it opens. Anybody know the name of it? It was called the Town Hall Diner. Yeah. And then Tom and Joe's took it over. They actually tore that down and actually rebuilt it. Now, I know it's hard to think that that building there is actually the new building, but it is. Okay? And it's been going on all this time, and you can still see this third generation young man, George, cooking on the grill there every time. Now, here's the spiritual application, okay? I can't wait till some of you guys go into Tom and Joe's and say, you know what? My pastor taught about you this morning at First Church. I'm talking about establishment. I go in there and I think, man, this is a gold mine. You know, this place is just making lots of money on bacon and eggs and taters, okay? Because almost everybody for breakfast orders the same thing. They call it a special, but it's you know, it's eggs and bacon and potatoes and toast. And, you know, they cook it on that old grill and, oh, my goodness. But think about it. Establishment. That thing is a gold mine. But you know why? Because for years and generations and for decades, they've been doing it and doing it well. Now, I don't know about you. Arlene is afraid to go to Tom and Joe's. Ask her about it when she comes here this morning. She's afraid. You know, just the waitresses kind of scare her. And, you know, she won't go there. She just won't. But I love it. I took a pastor friend that was brand new to the area. I introduced him to Tom and Joe's. And it was quite an experience for him. And now he says that he loves it too. But listen, folks, some of the greatest things in life are those things that have been around a long time. Those things that do whatever they do well and with passion and with care. And you can open up something like that today and it can flop because it doesn't have the years, it doesn't have the faithfulness, it doesn't have the decades of doing it and doing it well. So when you think about this idea of being established, you know, how do we do that? How do we accomplish that? I want to say it this way, that being established is being rooted and established in the love of God. Being rooted and being established in the love of God. What does that mean? What does it look like? Well, when you go to the Bible in John chapter 17, you find Jesus praying. And in the middle of this prayer, he says something that's really interesting because he talks about us. He talks about his followers. He talks about his Father. He talks about his relationship with the Father and his relationship with his children, with us. And then in the middle of that prayer, look at what he says here in John 17, verse 2 and 3. It says, he gives eternal life to each one. Now, this is Jesus talking to the Father. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life. Now listen, folks, I don't know about you. Man, I'm kind of into eternal life. Aren't you? I'm looking forward to that. You know, I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to perfection. I'm looking forward to no sin. I'm looking forward to being with all those people that love God that have gone before us. I'm looking forward to not having any sickness, any disease, any pain. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to everybody being University of Tennessee fans. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I know that. You know, I know God made the sky blue. He's a fan of it. Yeah. But look what he says here about eternal life and what it is. This is the way to have eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. You see, a lot of times when we talk about eternal life, we talk about it in different terms than this. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Why did Jesus come? He came so that we could have eternal life. What's life all about? What's Christianity all about? Christianity is so much more than just getting heaven and avoiding hell. That's a big part of it. But it's broader, it's bigger, it's deeper, it's wider, it's higher. The Christian life is so much more than just not sinning. The Christian life is even so much more than the hereafter, the afterlife. It's also about the here and now. Think about it, folks. Christianity, what is it all about? It's all about knowing God. And knowing that God wants to live in us in the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the other day, Arlene and I, we spent Valentine's Day. Somebody asked me, did you take Arlene out for Valentine's Day? I said, yeah, we ate a chicken sandwich on our way driving to Pittsburgh. We went over and had dinner over at Sarah's house, and Arlene and I were playing with Jack and Finley in Jack's bedroom. And we were wrestling, and we were singing, and we were jumping, and we were having a good time, and we were just doing all sorts of things. All of a sudden, Jack stopped, and he came over to me, and he said, Pappy, would you go downstairs and let me play with Mims? Just ripped my heart out of my chest and stomping on the floor right there. You know, Arlene stood up for me, though. She said, Jack, Pappy is my Valentine, and I want him to stay here. Thank you so much, honey, for doing that. I mean, have you ever thought that there's times by the things that you say and do that you just rip the heart out of your Heavenly Father. And that you just stomp it on the floor. You know, when I read this passage of Scripture and I see that the thing that Jesus wants us to understand is that He wants us to know what eternal life is. And eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life isn't something on down the road. Eternal life is something that we want and should experience right now. That's why He came. That's what life is all about. That's what Christianity is all about. It's so much more than gaining heaven and missing hell. That's a big part of it, but it's broad. It's bigger, it's deeper, it's wider, it's higher than all of that. So when you think about this and you break it down and you start looking at it, it's kind of amazing when you think about the difference between life and eternal life. You know, that word eternal there is just a descriptor of a different way of looking at life. Think about it though. When you think about life, what do you think about? Well, I think about health and stuff. You know, if you're blessed, what does that look like? Well, we're blessed when we think about it, when we have stuff and when we have health. That's the blessing of God. I actually had a friend that this week on Facebook actually wrote a post, and it said, because they were going through a really tough time in life, and they said, you know, God, why do you keep doing this to me? You know, have you ever had a flat tire? And he's like, oh, God, I don't need this now, God. Why now? You know, and you think that everything that happens to you is something that God is doing to you. And that if God is rooting for you and if God is on your side, that you're going to have stuff and you're going to have health. And Jesus, I think, is saying that there is so much more to life than that. Jesus came to give us eternal life. And that is not something that's going to start when this life is over. It's something that started now. It begs the question, why did Jesus die on the cross? I mean, the usual answer to that is what? If you've been in church, people say, well, Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. Yes, but why do you need your sins to be paid for? So we can have eternal life. But think about it, folks. Jesus isn't saying eternal life is something that's going to start. He says it's something that you have right now. And how do you have it? You have it because you know God. The whole purpose of the arrival of Jesus, the cross, the resurrection, is so that we can have eternal life. Life is what it is. Eternal life is the adjective that describes how long it lasts, but it's something that has started right now, which means the whole reason that Jesus came, died on the cross, rose again, is so that we can have Christ. So let's just take this for a moment and let's correct our thinking. Some of us, because we watch or we listen or we read from other teachers, we have this idea that Jesus came so that we can have stuff and that we can have health. And if we are faithful and if we pray adequately, that's always what we will have. And a lot of times people become disillusioned with God because they think, you know what, I'm going to give God a try. And they do, and they don't get that. They don't get stuff. They don't get health. They get difficulty and hardship and maybe sickness and disease. Does that mean that we're not gods? Does that mean that we are not experiencing life, eternal life? No, it doesn't. God is going to be with us in all those things. But here's the thing, folks, because there's an awful lot of time that we pray. And I just want to encourage you, do not pray for an easy life. Instead, pray for the strength to endure during a difficult life. You know, this has become so true and to me recently in a very personal way. I've told a few of you Today after church, I'm going to be traveling down to Durham, North Carolina, to visit with my sister. My sister Pat, who's my oldest sister, if you've been here for a number of years, she did come and visit once some years ago. She's 75 years old. She's my oldest sister. I'm the youngest of seven. And Pat last week went to the doctor because she was just experiencing a great shortness of breath. And they were concerned about her. They took her to the doctor. They ran some tests. And they came back and they told her. And I never heard this. And she had never heard of this. She said that the doctors were like dumbfounded by this. She has a malignant tumor inside her heart. And she was sharing this with me, and, you know, I just couldn't help but think, you know, I'm getting to that place in my life where, you know, I'm the youngest of seven. I'll be 60 my next birthday. My siblings are all getting older. And, you know, we're getting into that time where these kinds of things are going to start happening. And I was just so perplexed, and I felt so bad for my sister Pat, her husband Gene, their children Donna and Gene, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, just a fine couple. But I was on the phone with my sister, and here's what I wanted to tell you. She said to me over and over and over again, she kept referring to the good Lord. So, John, I was just having this really shortness of breath, and I just didn't know what to do. And, you know, she said, the good Lord just seemed to encourage me that I needed to get this checked out. And, you know, and then, Jean, her husband, and her daughter, Donna, they took her to the emergency room at Duke University Hospital. And she said, you know what, the good Lord just brought the exact right doctor in. And, you know, she kept referring to the good Lord. And I thought, that's what he is. But there's a lot of times when we go through stuff like this that threatens our very lives. We don't think about the good Lord. And maybe in some ways with her, and she and I have this conversation when I get there tonight, maybe in some ways we use that term kind of as a cliche rather than a truth statement. But he is the good Lord. And regardless of what our life is or is not, we should recognize him as that. Because heaven, eternal life, is not so much a destination that we're headed to. It's not somewhere that we're going to get to and then something's going to start there. Because what it is, he says that he gives us life, he breathes in us the breath of life, he gives us the abundant life, and he promises us life eternal. But here's the thing, we trick ourselves into thinking that eternal life is going to start when this life is over. And I submit to you that the eternal life and the abundant life overlap. And that God wants us to see now that eternal life is a relationship with him. It is not so much just a destination. As Jesus defines it in what we read here, he says it in two words. Eternal life is knowing God. Eternal life is knowing him. Jesus taught that eternal life is not about a destination. It's about a relationship with him. Listen to what he said. I'll say it to you again. Now this is eternal life, that we know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. When he says that eternal life is knowing God, he's not talking knowledge in saying about God, he's talking about knowledge of God. Do you understand the difference? There's a knowledge about God, and then there's knowing God. And I submit to you that it's really easy to slip into this life where you know about him. You know, I can point to the verses in the Bible that speak about God and speak about his goodness, but do I feel it in my heart? Do I know that he's that way with me? I mean, can I refer to the Ten Commandments? But yet does my life burn with a passion of being obedient to him? There's a massive difference between believing things about God and actually trusting in God. Trusting in God is a relational exchange. Believing things about God is an educational event. Believing things about God is educational. Trusting in God is transformational. When Jesus said that he came, died on the cross, rose again, his whole deal was about you having eternal life. And eternal life is knowing him and him walking with you through every moment of life. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ came to give you a relationship. You see, that's what hurt my heart so much when Jack wanted to kick me out of the room. And sometimes I feel like that's exactly what we do with God. Even though we know about him. Even though we're believers, Christians, we're in the church. Do we really walk with him? See, the purpose of life is to know him and to walk with him each and every day. To know him, to know the things that we've heard about, read about in Scripture, things that have been taught to us in church for our whole lives, not just knowing about him, but knowing him. Think about it. The greatest thing for David was not that he defeated Goliath. The greatest thing for David was that he knew that God was going to be with him through that time. You say, yeah, but he defeated Goliath. You know what? There's a whole lot more experiences in the book of Psalms written by David where he felt defeated, where he felt alone, where he felt like that everything was against him, and even God's voice was silent. Yes, David experienced a great victory in defeating Goliath, but his relationship was so much more than that. Think about it. The greatest thing about Moses wasn't that he parted the Red Sea, that he raised his staff and the waters parted and God's people walked over on dry land. The greatest thing about Moses was that he experienced the face of God. He experienced the glory of God. The Shekinah glory was on his face. And even in times where he committed great sins and ran to the far side of the mountain to be away not only from people but from God, God still spoke to him. The greatest thing about Simon Peter wasn't that he walked on water. It was because he had a relationship that enabled him to walk on water. And we certainly know that when he took his eyes off Jesus was when Peter began to sink in the water. For many people, even for some of us who grew up in church, the whole thing is about the afterlife and what God is going to do. But in reality, folks, it's also about what God is doing for us right now. Jesus taught that the reason you're breathing right now, the reason that God knit you together in your mother's womb, was so that you can know him. So that you can have a relationship with him. So you can walk with him. And so you can experience eternal life. Not someday, but right now. Folks, you're not only going to get a mansion, streets of gold, and all of that. But heaven is heaven, not because of the shiny stuff, but because the Bible says that God is there. And there will not even be any need for a son because God is there. And the reality is that God is not only going to be there, but God is here right now, living inside each and every one of us. And the point is that God wants you to experience eternal life now. Christianity is about having a relationship with this beautiful and wonderful God. That's what it's all about, knowing God and walking with him. Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to be established in that way. And I want the people that experiences your life and my life to experience the presence and the love of Jesus Christ because we are established in him and that we are standing on his beautiful word. You know, can I challenge you with something as you go about your week this week? Can I challenge you to to experience this with at least one person. And you look that one person in the eye and say this. You know, I'd just like to know, do you know God? And then follow that up with, I don't mean know about Him, but do you know Him? Is He walking with you every day? You will be amazed at the conversations those two little questions will spark. And it'll give you an opportunity not only to tell somebody about God, about His Son Jesus Christ, but about how He lives inside of you and how eternity has already begun. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do thank You for this wonderful morning. God, what a powerful passage of Scripture. When You, Lord, prayed for us. And in that prayer, Lord, You wanted us to know exactly what eternal life is all about. That it's not a destination, but it's a relationship. And I pray, Lord, for every person in this room right now, that they would have that kind of relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, Your Son. And Father, I know that I'm speaking to some people right now in this room that they know about God, but they know in their heart of hearts that they really don't know God. Because Lord, they're asking for the shiny stuff and the good health. But God, we know that Your invitation today is that You would come in and do and live life with us. That Lord, You'd be there when life gets messy, when life gets ugly, when sin, Lord, separates us from obedience in You. And I just pray right now, Lord, that every person that can hear My voice in this room, even ones, Lord, that might be watching this over the internet sometime later, Lord, that every person that hears My voice would not just simply know about You, but Lord, that they would know You and they would know the power of Your Spirit living in their lives. And God, if we don't feel that close to You right now, I pray, Lord, that we would make that right. That we would confess our sins to You, Lord. That we would reach out to You in confession and repentance. And that, Lord, we would allow Your Spirit to cleanse us and to make us whole. And then, Lord, let us know that eternity has already begun. And that we're going to walk and talk with You for all of eternity. May it be so, Lord, for all of us, because of our faith and because of Your great work in us. In Jesus' name we pray.